So good to see so many of you here today. Happy Mother's Day to all the women out there, aunts and sisters too. And today is a great day. Today is Confirmation Sunday. So we have four confirmants today: David, Jack, Haley, and Taylor. What a blessing it is that you've come here today to celebrate this day. They're going to remember it forever. We want to make sure that you join us downstairs for some cake, because we have a big cake spot for everybody here. So join and welcome them afterwards. I'm sure they all want to talk to you and share. They can't wait to hear their papers that they've written here today. A couple of announcements, I guess, coming up. Next week is Children's Sunday. The following week, we enter into Pentecost. Children's Sunday is going to be a big one. Does anyone have anything they would like to share this morning? I'm sure. There you go. Right in the front row.
Right.
Why not? Oh, you want to?
I don't think I need it here.
I know. You don't think you need it, but Ted thinks you need it.
Okay. First of all, I'm not dead.
Hey, praise God on that one, huh? That's off to a good start.
Well, then they said that my system had shut down. I couldn't do anything. I was in starvation mode. I can't see me in starvation mode. Everybody was fantastic, and anytime I needed something, they were there, or God was there, and God spoke to me, and he still has work for me to do, so I'm not going anywhere. Yep, and I'd like to thank everybody here in the church for all the things you've done for me since I've been here.
Oh. Does anyone else have any? That's a tough act to follow, huh?
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything else they would like to share with us this morning? Anything behind me here? No? We are doing good then. Then let us please stand now for introit number 512, found in your blue hymnal.
Thank you. We've come to worship God,
who loved us before we were yet born,
who knows us even better than we know ourselves,
whose presence never leaves us, and whose love for us never ceases.
This is our God.
Let us worship together.
Please join us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
The first Old Testament reading is Psalms 121. That is on page 498 in the Pew Bible. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by light. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep. You're going out and you're coming in from this time on in forevermore. The second Old Testament reading is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and that is on page 510. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The first gospel reading is in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 19 on page 812. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will keep you fishers of people." And immediately they left their nets and followed them. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. The second gospel reading is John chapter 21, verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My dead is free. precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt.
When you write a good prayer and then you can't find it when it's time to pray. Thought it was right here, but it's not. Would you please bow in prayer with me? Father God, this is a wonderful day. This is a blessed day. Lord, it's so good to see the families here, and they're going to rejoice in the joy of confirmation. We just lift up before you Ryan and Jack and Haley and Taylor. We praise and thank you for the years that they have put into this to be able to stand here today. We thank you that you open their hearts to learn your word and they can take it with them the rest of their lives. Father God, we pray that they're able to call upon that in times of trouble, that there are times where they're going to need you, Lord, in the future. And I pray that their hearts are opened to knowing that they can call on you at any time, just as we all are. Father, we praise and thank you for the mothers in our lives, the sisters, the aunts, the neighbors, the friends, the women of the world who have guided us to where we are today. We thank you for that, Father. Lord, we lift up Chris today. The joy of her being able to stand up here today is a great thing, because last week, Lord, we didn't know. We didn't know what was going to happen. But you intervened, and we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. The joy that she has in her heart now and the story she's going to share one day, we thank you for that. Father, we lift up each and every family here. We pray that they're strengthened through the joy of these kids today. We ask for your guidance and protection, and we lift this whole service before you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now we move to the altar. Let us now give back and share with joy that we are able to. Thank you. God, we praise and thank you that we are able to give back to you. We pray that you accept our tithes and offerings with the joy they are given back. In your name that we're here, in your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Noted English writer Rudyard Kipling wrote, "God could not be everywhere, so therefore he made mothers." Would you please bow in prayer with me? Dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer, just as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless all women, mothers and grandmothers, daughters, aunts, and sisters in Christ. Through you, O Lord, may they all be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may we honor them always with the spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Writer J.D. Salinger wrote, "Mothers are all slightly insane." Humorist Sam Levinson wrote, "Insanity is heredity. We get it from our kids." One of my favorite people to quote on Mother's Day is Irma Bombeck. And I have before. She was once asked, and I find this so profound, so worth telling over and over, if she had her life to live over again, would she change anything? Her first response was no. But then she thought about it and she changed her mind. She added, "Yes, there would have been more I love yous, more I'm sorrys, more I'm listening, but mostly given another shot at life." She says she would have seized every minute of it. She would have looked at it and she would have really seen it, tried it on. She would have lived that moment. She would have exhausted that moment. And she never would have given back 1 minute until there was nothing left of it. Happy Mother's Day. Wouldn't be a good sermon if I didn't get Yogi Berra mixed in here. So back in the 1950s and 60s, Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra were teammates for the Yankees. And Yogi Berra just got a new apartment in town. So he invited Mickey Mantle to come over to his house, and Mickey was traveling over there, and he got lost from the directions. So he calls up Yogi on the phone, and he says, "Where are you? Where is your place?" He says, Yogi goes, "Well, where are you now?" He says, "I'm at the corner of 5th and Main." And Yogi said, "Well, just keep coming." And he hung up. I kind of feel like Mickey Mantle through our last few years of COVID. I guess the other day they declared that the pandemic is over, finally, officially over. It's kind of funny, we've been continually reassured that we were on the right track. But I'm not sure if I ever really knew where the right track was or where we were going. Did you? So we're back to normal. I'm still wondering what normal looks like. For some of us, there's still a small sense of dread and worry. Our lives can sometimes get filled with dread and worry where we don't know where we're going, or we don't know what track we're on. It's these worries, this back-to-normal mindset that can build. It can build within ourselves, and we start to lose focus as the problems grow. We stop looking up to God, and we start looking down at ourselves and our problems. We fail to seek his guidance or his protection. I've chosen a few parts of scriptures, and I'll share them with you today. The scriptures that we read today were from their sermons, which they will be reading. I'll take another 2 hours. John 14, 1 through 14, a part of that says, "Not letting your hearts be troubled." And John 14, 6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And later I'll incorporate a little bit of Psalm 31, 1 through 5. And the theme of that is trusting in the Lord no matter what. In this troubled and uncertain world, how can Jesus being the way and the truth and the life make any difference to any of us? What I find interesting about the story of John is that I think Jesus sets the conversation up. I think he primed the pump so that Thomas would ask, Lord, do we not know where you are going? How can we know the way? John 14, 5. And that's because the question, that's what Jesus wanted him to ask. And that's the one Jesus wanted to answer. How can we know the way? Until you know the answer to that question, you will always be lost. Like Mickey Mantle taking verbal directions from Yogi Berra. Remember, Yogi is the one who came up the great line, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. Justin Tabor once said, all men should strive to learn before they die what they are running from, and to, and why. That little poem is a powerful point. Until you know why you're here, where you are going, you'll always be lost. And so Jesus frames conversation so Thomas will ask, how can we know the way? Now the conversation actually began much earlier when Jesus said these words, let not your hearts be troubled. That's in John 14, 1. Have you ever been on a trip and gotten lost? Well, when you're lost, did you get that feeling, that troubled feeling, the worries start coming in? Kind of funny, I know I've shared this before, but when I was younger, I was so much smarter. I decided I would drive to Yankee Stadium all by myself in my Vega, my old Vega. I went to the game and I was pretty smart. I thought I'd park right next to the exit gate. So when the game was over, I'd walk out, I'd pull right on the highway and I'd be home. So this day, the game ended, I went out, I got in my car, I went to get on the highway, and the cops had it all blocked off. And they're pointing go that way. Well, I tried to argue, and of course that got nowhere. Well, I didn't know where I was going. I'm driving and driving and driving, and then all of a sudden it dawns on me partway through, I'm driving my little Vega in some of the bad sections of New York, and I don't know where I'm going. So I'm patting the top of my Vega, telling it how great it is. Just keep going. We're going to make it. And inside, I'm worrying. Well, I eventually did make it home. But while I'm driving, I'm saying, I love you. I'm going to keep you forever. In the back of my mind, I'm going, the first chance I get, I'm getting a new car. I made it home, but there's times I didn't take it for granted that it was a sure thing. I actually got really worried. I made it home, but there's times that you just say, Lord, get me home. Just however you do it, just do it. And that's what Jesus says. He says, nothing on this earth is a sure thing. Don't lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. For neither moth nor rust will destroy and where thieves can break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Matthew 6:19. Let me repeat, nothing on this earth is a sure thing. And that can drive us nuts. I don't know who said it, but recently some big religious person said, no matter how much time you think you have left, you don't. You don't. We all think we're going to live to 98 or 104 or whatever it is. Just something to think about here. Let me repeat that. Nothing on this earth is a sure thing. If you were just knew which way to go, if we just knew which truth to trust, if we could just be assured that life would turn out all right, then maybe we might be able to hold on and enjoy the ride. Jesus said, if you're looking for the way to go, that's me. If you're looking for a truth that you can trust, that's me. If you're looking for assurance in life, that it will turn out all right. That's me. You trust in God? Trust also in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But what is it about Jesus that makes him the way, the truth, and the life? Pastor Jeff Stride wrote, there's a cute little bumper sticker on a Vega that reads, don't follow me, I'm lost. In religious world, there's a lot of folks out there who say, follow me, I know where I'm going. In fact, every world religion is based on that idea. Follow me, I know where I'm going. I know what is right, and I know what must be done. I know where you need to go. But in almost every world religion, you could remove the founder and still have the teachings. You could take Muhammad out of Islam. You could take the Buddha out of Buddhism. But you'd still have Buddhism. You'd still have Islam. And on and on. But you can't take Jesus out of our faith and still have Christianity. Everything hinges on him. That's why Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Paul puts it this way. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is on Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3. And David had God as his rock. We have and depend on Jesus. Everything in our Christian life depends on Jesus. Without him, we have nothing. But why should it make a difference to us? What is it about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life that would help me deal with any of my doubts, distress, or discouragement that comes my way? Because Jesus is the way. When you found Jesus, you're not lost anymore, for he is the way. Jesus makes it clear. We won't know the defined way that we're supposed to travel in life. We are instead tasked by simply knowing and trusting in Jesus. Daily walking in the faith and trusting that he is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus can testify to the truth and teach the truth because he himself is the truth. In him there is nothing false, nothing misleading, nothing fake, nothing uncertain. Jesus is the life. Jesus is teaching us that what we need to be concerned with is not this life, but with eternal life. No fear of death. When Jesus refers to himself as the way and the truth and the life, he's giving us a better way to live, and it is living through him. He's showing us that through following him daily in our faith, he will lead us to a better, richer, more meaningful life than we could ever find on our own. Psalm 31 is an individual lament psalm. In which King David, that's the little David that threw the shepherd that threw the slingshot that eventually took down Goliath, and he eventually went on to be the second king. He's trying to work through his problems. He's asking the Lord, and he's setting the tone for Psalm 31. It's like when Absalom, his son, is coming to try to kill him. Now, David's smart. He's skilled. He has strength. Many have he has shown when he kicked Goliath's butt as a young man, and equally skilled as a leader as King David. But David's run at greatness is running to an end. It started his decline the second he caught his adulterous glimpse of Bathsheba. His great success as a warrior and empire builder was marred by interconnected family dissensions and political revolts. In Psalm 31, David, his prayer is while Absalom is mounting his armies in a bloody revolt against his father. He's trying to kill his own father. And David has fled to the Mount of Olives. He's weeping as he climbs the mountain. And with his armies battling Absalom's army, David is reconnecting with God. And the psalm begins with David invoking and expressing his confidence in the Lord. In verse 1a, NIV, it says, "In you, O Lord, I take refuge." In King James, it says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." That's David's bedrock, assurance and confidence. He trusts in the Lord. No one and nothing else, his military strength or his wisdom or anything. The Lord alone is his trust. Isn't it the same for all of us when our world starts to get off kilter? Isn't it until we stop and reboot with God, spending time and listening, that whatever is going on in our life that we need to do or we need to fix comes into focus? And now, like us, because David trusts the Lord, and as we see things are not going well in his life, that God comes to his petition. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me from thy righteousness. Verse 2 or 3, David now asks for deliverance that would prevent his everlasting shame. Turn your ears to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock. Be my refuge. A strong focus to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. In verse 2, David is asking God, turn quickly to me. Now in verse 3, David is already accepting it. He's assured of it. Isn't that how we ought to pray too? Assured that God will hear our prayers and will answer our prayers? God is provider, and yet we also ask him to provide for our daily bread. Verse 4, free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. David asked God to release him from the traps that his son has set before him, secretly laid these traps as if he were an animal to bring him in. Absalom's revolt was defeated. Absalom was killed. But David is crying to God about his lost son. When his generals come to him and say, we fought hard for you. Your men fought hard for you, and now all you're worrying about is your son. David finally regroups again. He becomes a great leader. The Lord was his rock. He finally realized that again. Christ is your rock. In him take your refuge. In him put your trust. I'd like to end with a few more thoughts from Irma Bombeck. She wrote, if I had my life to live over, and all of these sound good to me, I would have talked less and listened more. I would have invited friends over to dinner even if the carpet was stained and the sofa was faded. I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandparents rambling on about their youth. I would have burned that pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried one bit about the grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching life. I would have never bought anything just because it was practical, wouldn't show or soil, and was guaranteed to last a lifetime. And my favorite, I would have eaten less cottage cheese and more ice cream. And finally, she closed with, stop sweating the small stuff. Don't worry about who doesn't like you, who has more, who's doing what. Instead, cherish your relationships that we have with each other. And cherish for those who do love you. Let us think about what God has blessed each of us with this day. Amen. This is the best part of the day right now. Brothers and sisters in Christ, just as nature has its times and seasons, each which is important, so in the providence of God does human nature, there's a time to be born and there is a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time for the early and later rain. This is most certainly true, thanks be to God. Today we rejoice because our youth are on a gracious pilgrimage in their faith, as we are, having been drawn by God's word. by his holy example, by the sacrament, and by prayer. We know that their journey has only begun, yet we are confident that God, who will begin a good work in them, will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Let us give thanks to God who awakens faith in them and in us. Would you please stand now for the Apostles' Creed? It's found on page 878. Jack will tell us.
Please join me in the reciting the Apostles' Creed found on page 878 in the blue hymnal. I believe in the God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From that sense, he shall come judge the quick and dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church, the community of saints, forgiveness of sins,
resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Would you please join us now in hymn number 579?
This passage is Jesus' response to Peter's question concerning John's death. Jesus' reply was that the knowledge of John's death should not change your belief in God or in Jesus. When this verse was first suggested to me, I thought it was much shorter. When I looked in the Bible, I found there was more to the verse that does not need to be eliminated to make the verse a strong message. John 21:22 teaches me that my relationship with God is between me and God alone. Each must learn to operate within his faith. The passage also teaches me that my belief in Jesus shows me a way to live. When I chose this verse, because following Jesus means having a life that reflects his values by doing what you think he would do, and for no other reason. The devil wants to show you people that do not follow Jesus turn out okay, sometimes very wealthy. But what he does not show you is what happens after, and how they will not end up in heaven. This passage is as true today as it was in Jesus' time. It tells me not to allow the day-to-day stuff in my life to affect my true beliefs and relationship with God. It reminds me to simplify my life and to be true to my beliefs. The passage John 21:22 is short, but teaches an important lesson. I believe each person should be reminded of this each day.
My relationship with Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. God made the ultimate sacrifice by sending his Son, Jesus, into the world to die for our sins. I know that through my faith, God will love me unconditionally. He will always be with me and promises to guide me through my life. Jesus has loves me unconditionally. Jesus is related to all people, those who are good, bad, poor, wealthy, respected, and despised. All of Jesus' miracles show us that everyone has worth. We learn that God has the power to save everyone that has faith in him. Having faith in Jesus means that we trust enough to turn our lives over and obey him. God promises to be with me and never give up on me, even though I fail him at times. He will help me overcome my temptations. In order to do this, I must confess my sins and ask God for forgiveness. I know that I can do this by praying to him because I know he is always there for me. Jesus has promised to guide me. The Bible teaches us what is true and makes us realize what is wrong with our lives. It helps us compare our behaviors, thoughts, and attitudes to do what God wants from us. He teaches us that as good Christians, we sometimes have to do some hard things. We must show our love to even our enemies through our behavior and prayers. Jesus' love is so great that I can trust him with all my heart. I can lean on him and know that he will guide me down the right path.
I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I picked Psalm 121 because it talks about the Lord helping me and watching over me. It says that he will keep me from harm. I believe in Jesus, and I believe he watches over us. I believe that he is a higher power who has a plan for my future, even if I don't know what that is yet. He knows. He put me on this earth for a reason, and it's not for my brother to annoy me. I must trust him in his plan. I know that Jesus only wants the best for me, and sometimes I have to struggle in life to learn a lesson. In the future, I would like to be a teacher so that I can work with kids who have learning disabilities, like dyslexia. Maybe Jesus gave me dyslexia so that I can understand how they learn and help them learn better. Jesus made everything so that we can live, eat, and grow. He's our Savior and watches over us to guide and protect us. When there are tough times, we need to have faith that everything will work out if we just keep trying. Jesus is there to listen to us when we pray. When I was younger, I would say a prayer every night to ask Jesus to watch over me, my mom, my dad, and Jake. I did this because I had faith that he was listening to me and would protect my family. Listening to these stories in DC class And in church, it is clear that Jesus is not selfish. These are stories about him being friends with people who are sick and poor. He did not judge people for their mistakes. His love for his people was so awesome that he gave his life so that we could be free from our sins and have eternal life. Even when we die, our spirits will live on in heaven. When I die, I get to see the people I love again. This is possible because Christ is my Savior.
My connection with Christ is fishing because every time I fish, I think about how Christ has helped me through tough times in life. I am able to reflect on what is going on in my life, and I am able to talk to Christ about it while I'm doing what I love. Although Christ connected me in fishing, this verse made me like fishing in Christ even more. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 19. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of the men." And immediately they left their nets and followed them. That verse is why I'm able to connect with Christ better. Christ being my Savior is very important to me because without Christ guiding me, I would not be able to get through tough times that have happened throughout my life. I'm able to love fishing that much more because it's my time to be alone or with others and be able to hear and see all my surroundings that he has made. It makes me appreciate and realize things that might not happen before fishing. It lets me spend time with people and that I care about. We are able to enjoy what I love together. Christ has made that happen for me.
Would you guys please join me up front? Didn't they do a great job? Ryan David Capoletti, Jack Christopher Holloway, Haley Jeanette Morton, and Taylor Emmanuel Gomes. They worked hard on their papers. They worked very hard. And they come today for confirmation. Today, when they are through, they will spread apart. We invite the families to, at that time, come up and pray with them. You can pray silently, and you can pray out loud. So we will just bounce around as you pray and as you feel led. That's probably the best way to do that right now. Would you guys please turn towards me? Answer only for yourself. And in perfect freedom to be silent if you cannot yet answer. I now call upon you to respond to the following questions. Do you confess your personal faith in Jesus Christ and desire with God's help to be his disciple? Do you believe that the Church of Jesus Christ, that the Bible, the Old and New Testaments, is the Word of God, telling the story of God and God's people in the past and guiding them today? If so, answer, I do. And as you continue on your life, do you intend to keep worshiping Christ's church, listening to his word and responding to his call according to your faith? Please answer, I do. So be it, according to your faith. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. May you share his blessing today. Amen. Please turn around and separate. And I invite the families to now come up and pray for these guys. There you go. I'll start out, and then anyone who feels they would like to add on, please continue. Father God, we come today, and we praise and thank you. We are blessed by these young adults and their choices and their decisions today, Father. We lift them up. We pray that you hold them in your hands and you guide them through each and every day. And Lord, we know there are going to be tough times. We know there's tough times coming ahead, and there's good times and there's great times. So we praise and thank you for them. And we lift them up before you today in your holy name. Families, please return to their seats. Please remain seated. Will respond. It's found in the back of the blue hymnal. It's number 940. We'll read it in unison. Lord God, our Maker and Redeemer and Friend, we thank you this day for your compassion. According to their own personal experience of you. How grateful we are that you know them all, and that you love and understand each one.
them from sin and help them to grow willingly in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surround them, we pray, with signs of your triumph, especially when they are tempted to fall away. And give them grace while they are young and strong to become the servants you want them to be. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I will now call upon our Vice Chair, Mr. Jay Freeland, to present them with their certificates. There you are, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to say a few words first, if I could, Haley, Caleb, Jack, and Brian. I want to say a few words to you that I wish were said to me when I was standing in your exact spot 50-something years ago. When Gary was a classmate, and look how he turned out. but seriously, you guys just made a confession of faith. It's a, kind of a formal phrase. But really what you're saying is, hey, I believe that Jesus died on the cross like this one behind me. I believe that he is risen from the dead. I believe that, he's paid the price for my sins, all the ones I've committed, all the ones I'm going to commit. Unfortunately, we're going to commit more sins. And you've accepted that. The reason I want to tell you that is because your faith is going to be tested. And for some of you, it might be soon, but at some point, your faith is going to be tested. If you go to college, it's probably going to be tested there. I know it was for me. So the reason I tell you that is, and boil it down to just a couple of sentences, is I want you to think of one thing. That is, if Jesus is risen from the dead, then Christianity is game on. It's game on. Just that one thing. So if you hitch your faith to that one idea that Jesus is risen from the dead, then you can trust Jesus on all the other things that he said for us. So I'm not going to congratulate you this morning because I want to welcome you this morning, and we want to welcome you this morning. Because confirmation is really a formal sign of saying, hey, you're joining with us in what Matthew had in the last chapter called Great Commission, that you are now also responsible for telling people the good news of Jesus. And you know, the last chapter of Matthew says, go into all the world. Well, your world right now might be a classmate, a teammate, somebody that you can bring to youth group, maybe a family member. But the world is dying for this good news that there's forgiveness through Christ. So please join us with this. Join with us and tell, let people know that Jesus has risen from the dead. It's good news, okay? So, sigh just come out of them. Finally, start loosening the tie, start chilling. We've come to our final song, our going out song, our celebration song, God So Loved. Please stand for it, our final song.
Come all you thirsty, come to the well.
downstairs afterward for some cake and to shake the hands of confirmands and to feel their release of joy that they get to go home now to a party or relaxing. Now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you in the presence of his glory, jubilant and above reproach, to the only God our Savior be glory and majesty, might and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all time, now and forevermore. Go in his peace. Amen.